Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7, and it's a wonderful good morning to you on this beautiful Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, when we are celebrating our liturgical new year. And so a happy new year to you. Of course, it is the day in which we begin our Advent journey. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus. That means a coming, an approach, an arrival. And we are anticipating the arrival of Jesus as a baby in a manger, receiving Christ anew and afresh on Christmas Day. Now, let's look at some of the history. And I did go to our lectionary to find some of the history. Pope Gregory I settled the season of Advent consisting of four Sundays with a clear emphasis on the Christian hope of the coming Christ. Bernard summarizes the theology of the season of Advent as the three comings, and I actually really like this. In the first coming, Christ is our redemption, and that's already happened. In the last, Jesus will appear as our life. And now we're in middle times, and Jesus is our rest and our consolation. I think that's what I really like, that to focus on Jesus at this time of being our rest and our consolation. So if we're feeling tired, worn out, we go to Jesus for rest. If we're feeling anxious, we go to Jesus for consolation. Advent Sunday, as I said, marks the beginning of this liturgical year, and it consists of the four Sundays before Christmas. The liturgical colour is purple, and people have said, why purple? That reminds us of Lent and remorse and repentance. But of course, if we are going to prepare our hearts aright for Jesus, we do need to look back on the past year and repent. And so the purple is a good colour for us during Advent. The four Sundays have individual themes. You have the first Sunday is the Son of Man will come in glory, and that's today. The second Sunday, John the Baptist assumes his role as herald, and we will see the reading associated with that. The third Sunday is the relationship between Jesus and John, and of course, we do know that they're cousins. And then we have the fourth Sunday, which is the one just before Christmas, where Mary visits Elizabeth. And we know that Mary went to visit Elizabeth because she was pregnant. And when she arrived, John, inside Elizabeth, jumped for joy. The first two Sundays will focus our attention on the second coming of Jesus as our hope and on the prophecies of the first covenant. And the second two Sundays remind us of the preparation God made for Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, the fulfillment of those prophecies. I've often said that we live in a time when God's kingdom has not fully come. And when people say to me, why do bad things happen to good people? I say, because God's kingdom hasn't fully come yet. And that is the time in which we're living. But this Advent reminds us of this, I think, that we're living in in-between times, the now of our salvation and the not yet of its complete fulfillment. It is also a season, if we are fortunate enough to have family and friends, of family and friends. And some of you will be getting ready to go away. Others will be getting ready to have relatives come and stay. For me, it's a time when I reflect back on past family Christmases when my parents were alive and I had little children, and they would always come up for about a month from the Eastern Cape and they would stay with us. And before they came, I would do this blitz on the house. You would see me racing around doing a huge spring clean, washing curtains, linen, carpets, cleaning out cupboards, making up the beds. All of this took time and energy. But there was an excitement about it. So it wasn't a time and energy that sapped my strength. It was a sense of anticipation for their arrival, the excitement of them arriving, putting little chocolates on their pillows, getting flowers in the bedroom. And for me, that is what Advent's about. It's this excitement, anticipation, preparing our hearts and our souls to receive Christ anew at Christmas. And we need to clean out everything and make sure that we're in the right space to really receive Christ anew. And it does take time and energy. But it's a good time and energy. There's something about the season that excites us, the anticipation of what God did, crossing that huge divide between us and heaven and coming to dwell among us as one of us and to die as one of us, in fact. So it is a busy time for all of us, but we need to put some sort of energy into preparing ourselves spiritually for Christmas Day. As you think on that, coming up now on the mighty Hot 102.7, when I look into your holiness. And maybe that's just time for us to pause now and really concentrate on the holiness of Jesus.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
When I look into your holiness on the mighty Hot 102.7, you're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And it is so good to be with you on this, the first Sunday of Advent. as we begin our Advent journey towards Christmas Day. I've spoken about how I see it as a time of excitement and anticipation, where we do need to expend some energy and spend some time preparing ourselves to receive Christ anew and afresh on Christmas Day. And I compared it to how I used to spring clean the house before my parents came up for December to be with us at Christmas. And while it took time and energy, there was a great excitement and anticipation about it. And I think that's how we need to view Advent. I've spoken about the four Sundays of Advent. I've spoken about the themes of Advent. Now I want to look at a few different interpretations of Advent, well, especially the one from Pope Francis, but I also want to look at the Advent wreath and why we have the Advent wreath. So let's look at the words of Pope Francis, and I do like this because he says that Advent is a journey towards Bethlehem, obviously a journey towards the birthplace of Jesus. He says, may we let ourselves be drawn by the light of God made man. May we let ourselves be drawn by the light of God made man. Don't you just love that? Drawn to the light of Jesus. And of course, Jesus came into the world as the light of the world. And I do think Jesus draws us. There's that deep calling to deep. There's that pulling towards Jesus. And an analogy that came to me, which is half right, is how a moth is drawn towards a flame. So we're drawn towards Christ. The fortunate thing for you and I is that we don't die when we're drawn towards Christ, but in fact, we find life and life in abundance. So that is the fortunate part of that. But as we prepare for Jesus' coming, the one who brought light into the darkness, let us remember that. And let us remember that this is a time where we have to pause in the midst of all the busyness, just recognize what God did and allow ourselves to be drawn into a deeper relationship with Jesus. The light of Jesus coming into the world is often represented in many churches by the candles in the Advent wreath. So let's just look at where the Advent wreath came from. It came from probably the Middle Ages, and they think it was German in origin, and they feel it might have been lit. Remember, it's winter in those days, in those countries at that time, that the candles may have been lit to remind people of the light that will come with summer. Whatever the reason, it became representative of the four Sundays of Advent, and we usually use evergreen branches or twigs or whatever. We've got leaves in the wreath, and we have five candles, actually. We have the four candles for the four Sundays, and in the middle of our wreath, we have the white candle, which we light to celebrate the birth of Christ. We actually light it at midnight mass. So we have those four candles, and those four candles represent different things. So on the first Sunday today, we look at hope. What is our hope in Christ? And I think I love the statement that I heard. For once in a world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world. I think we mustn't underestimate the power of Christ's birth. We sometimes gloss over it because there's so many other things going on. And Christmas is about the presence and the family. Let's not forget how huge this was as God interrupted history and Jesus came to live among us. I've spoken extensively of how we need to be a people of hope, even last week, how we can have hope in the midst of darkness. And when I end today, I will be looking at Luke chapter 21 again and looking at how even Jesus says, we don't need to worry because we are people of hope and the hope is in the second coming. The second candle in the second week is about peace. And I think looking at what's going on in the world, we need that deep peace of God that passes all understanding. And we need to be people of peace. And we need to be bringing peace to other people and letting them feel that deep peace of God within us. I think all of us know the value of peace. The third candle is the candle of joy. And I wonder if you feel joyful. We sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let us experience that joy in our hearts. So as we come to the third Sunday, let's look at our lives and see how we're experiencing it. And I will look at it again as we go through the second, the third, and the fourth Sunday. The fourth Sunday is love. Greater love has no human that they lay down their life for another. And I think we need to remember how much God loves us. God's love is wider, deeper, broader than anything we can understand or comprehend. The Christmas story is, of course, all about love. God so loved the world that he crossed that divide and was born as one of us. And God was prepared to allow Jesus to die as one of us so that you and I could inherit eternal life and be set free and experience life here in all its abundance. That is huge love. And so that's the fourth candle. And then obviously the center candle that we light at midnight mass is to celebrate the birth of Christ, the light of God coming into the world. The Advent wreath is also circular because there's no end and no beginning to God's love. God's love is eternal. So I just thought I'd share some of that with you. In a minute, I'm going to look at the readings. But first, on the Mighty Heart 1027, All Heaven Declares.
Sunrise with Shona.
On Heart 1027.
All Heaven Declares on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it is good to be with you. I've started by looking at some of the history of Advent, how it came about. We've looked at the Advent wreath. We've looked at the four candles on the Advent wreath, including the fifth one, which is a central candle lit on Christmas Day. And I've expressed how I think we need to reflect back and have the sense of anticipation and excitement as we move towards Christmas, but at the same time doing some spiritual work, which does take time and energy, but it shouldn't be time and energy sapping. We should be doing it with that anticipation and excitement as we wait to receive Christ anew. I want to just look quickly at some of the readings. And so I'm going to look at Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. But I'm just going to pick up some of the verses here. So we are told by Jesus, he's speaking to his disciples, that there are going to be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish, perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People are going to faint from terror. This doesn't sound like good news, but I promise you there is good news in it. Then we are told at that time they're going to see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So this is the glory of God coming amongst us. When these things take place, stand up, lift up your hearts, because your redemption is drawing near. He tells them the parable of the fig tree that I'm not going to go into now, but then he says that be careful of, or your hearts will be weighed down with all that's going on around you, and the day will suddenly come upon you like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on your watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you will stand before the Son of Man. But he does say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, and God's kingdom is near. So that is what we celebrate. That's what we take as a message of hope out of Luke 21, that the kingdom of God is near. It hasn't fully come, said we live in those in-between times, and that it will come. And that when all these things happen, just hold on to our hope which is in Christ. And that's from the Gospel of Luke. We can then look at Jeremiah 33. And what we see in Jeremiah is that we're told in those days at that time, and of course this is the prophecy of Jesus' birth, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days Judah will be saved, Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. So we had that prophecy right in Jeremiah. We can move into the Psalm of David. David says, in you, Lord my God, I put my trust. So here it all ties together, even with that gospel reading. We put our trust and our hope in God. I trust in you, God. Do not let me be put to shame. Don't let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, says David. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour. My hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. And so he goes on. And so we have the psalm that is set for today, which is again a psalm of trust and hope in God. The last reading I want to share is the one that I think is the most important for us today as we approach this Advent season. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. It's 1 Thessalonians 3, and he says the following, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? So he's writing to this church, thanking them and saying, we can't thank God enough for you because you have brought us joy. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. So Paul's desire is to reunite with these people, the Church of Thessalonica, and to continue to help them grow in their faith. Then he says, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. So he's asking God to clear the way that he may come. It's a prayer he's praying. May the Lord make your love increase. Now listen to this, because I think this is what we need to take into Advent. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. And then he says, just as ours does for you. But I want us to really focus on that verse 12, because maybe that should be our prayer for Advent. Lord, please may our love increase and overflow for each other, in our faith communities, in our families, but also for everyone else. And if we love with the love of God, we draw others to God. And so as we celebrate this, the first Sunday of Advent, as we prepare ourselves to receive Christ anew and afresh, let us remember those words and perhaps make that our prayer for the week. Lord, please make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. Imagine how the world would change if we all did that. To wrap up this morning, be still for the presence of the Lord. The Holy One is near, and what a friend we have in Jesus. I hope and pray that you have a wonderful Advent journey. I pray that today you feel your blessings, that you know how much you're loved by God, and that as you journey through this Advent, God will draw you closer and closer to Him. God bless, and have a wonderful week.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 102.7.